Good morning. You've tuned in to the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY with Jack and Carrie. This morning, Jim is, I can't remember where Jim is this time. It's hard to keep track of him, Carrie.
San Francisco, maybe.
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
Always a good guess.
Yeah.
And that's probably where he is, but I'm not positive.
House sits for friends there or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He moves around.
He does.
Yes, he keeps mobile, and Jim is therefore out today. His absence is hardly noticeable because we have Carrie Logan here to fill his seat.
Well, thank you.
In his shoes.
And I hate to see people gone, but it's always nice because then I get to come into the studio. So
yeah, and it's always nice to see you, Carrie. Well, how was your New Year, Carrie?
I had a great New Year.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Quiet. I didn't go out or anything.
Yeah. Same.
Sleep by 10:30 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was great.
So you didn't ring it in?
No.
Officially.
I'm just not a night girl.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me.
I can't remember who was saying it, but it is a little strange that we all celebrate New Year. It's not that we all celebrate New Year's at a different time. That the world doesn't come together and say at once, now it's 2018.
I saw that same conversation on Colbert with scientist.
Was.
What's his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes, he was talking about that.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, that was a very interesting conversation.
As soon as he said it, I said, you're right.
Yeah.
We should all just get together. Greenwich Mean Time, we should just say, now it's 2018.
Yep, for it.
Around the world. Yeah, that'd be fun. Anyway, as you may have noticed, we've got a little weather going on out there, and that's probably why you tuned in. So I will not keep you in suspense. Let's talk about what's going on. It's Snowmageddon 3, as my UPS driver calls it.
He
calls it Snowmageddon 3.
Oh, okay.
This would be the third major snowstorm. It's a heavy snow year, but not only is it a heavy snow year, it's all coming in big chunks, which makes it difficult for the plows to keep up, as
correct
you would know as a former city administrator.
Mm-hmm. But also as a city resident now, where I'm going, where the heck are the plows?
Mm-hmm.
When are they going to come get this junk off the street?
Uh-huh.
And they did on Monday or Tuesday. They came and skimmed the rest of that stuff off.
Yeah. They just cleared off Lake Street where I live. And now it's coming down again. I was up late last night looking for that first flake. I didn't see it. And then woke up and I thought maybe somebody had called it wrong and there wasn't going to be any snow, but... Nope, woke up this morning. It sure was there. Currently, it's 30 degrees Fahrenheit, and it is snowing right now. It is calm as far as wind goes, so that's nice. And there is a winter storm warning in effect until 4 a.m. Friday. Why, that's tomorrow. Today, high of 33 degrees and a 100% chance of heavy snow. There is a winter storm warning. And I'll read a little bit more about that as we continue. But let's give the rough forecast for the rest of the weekend. Chance of snow before 1 p.m. on Friday, then a chance of rain and snow between 1 and 5. This is tomorrow, Friday. New cloudy with a high near 35 tomorrow. Saturday, a 30% chance of rain. Patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 35. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch on Saturday. Sunday, patchy fog. And then Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day with partly sunny and a high near 37 degrees.
Schweitzer, however, is going to be below freezing and their snow amounts are significantly more. So all those skiers out there should be happy, happy, happy.
I would think so.
Yep.
Yeah. Perhaps you'd like to hear about this winter storm warning to impact the inland northwest today and tonight.
I would totally love to hear about it.
Well, I'll tell you, this remains in effect until 4 a.m. Pacific Standard Time Friday. Heavy snow is expected. Plan on difficult travel conditions, including during the morning and evening commute. Total snow accumulation of 6 to 12 inches with the heaviest amounts over the central panhandle. Why, that's us. The snow could mix with rain overnight in the Silver Valley. Mountain accumulations of 1 to 2 feet are expected. This affects Sandpoint, Bonner's Ferry, Priest River, Eastport, Schweitzer Mountain Road, Kellogg, Pinehurst, Osborne, Wallace, Mullen, 4th of July Pass, Dobson Pass, and Lookout Pass. Ooh, I would not want to be going over any of the passes.
I have a daughter and three grandchildren traveling here from the Bend area today. Yeah, they're leaving at noontime.
Okay, yeah. So they might miss the heaviest part of it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. I think probably from Coeur d'Alene up is going to be interesting.
Yes. Yeah. I just did that drive during our last winter storm.
Uh-huh.
I came up. I should have come through Coeur d'Alene. This is not official. This is just my personal travel advisory. If you think you're smart and you're going to take the shortcut up through, turn off at Post Rathdrum. Falls. Yeah. And come up through mm-hmm. your Rathdrum. That was not smart of me to do two Thursdays ago, December 28th. I should have just stayed on 90 until 95 and then 95 all the way up.
Did you have wind and drifts and that kind of thing?
It was, yeah, I was coming back from Seattle with a new car and still had the summer tires on, not even winter tires.
Ooh.
And this was, I thought it was bad on the highway, but then as soon as I took that exit, then it was.
What is that, 57? You turn off, that's 57 yeah, there?
I think so. Something 57, like 54.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
North, yeah, it is, I believe so. But
41.
Yeah. You know, it's one of it's the post falls. Yeah, it's the post falls exit, and then you can take it north and then cut over. And the idea is you can avoid some of those stoplights in Coeur d'Alene. But it would have been nice to have some of those stoplights, I think. It was rough. Anyway, so take it easy out there. And if you can, stay off the roads as much as you possibly can, because it will not be super pleasant. The hazardous weather outlook, we have two alerts coming to us from the National Weather Service. The hazardous weather outlook is for a 7-day outlook. Day one, today and tonight, periods of moderate to heavy snow are expected over this area. Then day two through day seven, Friday through Wednesday, drier weather will arrive for the weekend and into early next week. This will be followed by a pair of fast-moving storms, which could deliver moderate snow over the mountains. That's expected in the next week. Who knows? Anyway, but it's all kind of up in the air. This was not, I had no idea any of this was happening until, I don't know, midday yesterday was the first
really?
I heard
that
of it.
The storms were
so.
Coming?
I think so, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of what? Speaking of our area, storms in our area. So speaking of our area, let's talk about something pleasant and wonderful. We have here a guest in the studio, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
I'd like to welcome Becca Orchard, Volunteer Supreme over at Sandpoint Community Resource Center. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh. Becca's here to talk about Sandpoint Community Resource Center, their history, who they are, what they're doing, and what their needs are. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the organization, how it got started? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, just to fill in your listeners, the Resource Center is really poised in the community to try and connect people in need in the community with the services and resources that there are available to them. So that's our core mission. And it all started, I believe, back in 2011. And we fondly refer to this part of our history as two men and a cell phone, because it really started with two gentlemen trying to help a friend navigate to find a need, to meet a need. And they experienced firsthand what most people in the community must have been experiencing, which is you get a lot of runaround, you get sent hither and thither and yon, trying to access something that you need. I don't have the specifics about what that was, but they actually came up empty-handed. But the effort sort of inspired them to say, we can do better than this. And so they just put their heads together, and they actually partnered initially with a church and had, you know, a great idea. Why don't we just kind of make ourselves available to people to help, you know, ease the burden and the struggle and the frustration? And so they got a cell phone and they filed for a 501c3, and the two of them swapped the phone back and forth and try, you know, I should mention their names. Rich Cretal and Dave Peets are those two men. Thank you, Dave and Rich. And they may not appreciate me telling, you know, their stories, but Dave had a stack of business cards that he carried around. So when somebody called and asked for something, he would flip through his kind of rolling Rolodex. Rich had a piece of legal pad that he had scribbled, you know, numbers and contacts and things that he had acquired over his time. And that's how they operated. And they did that, I believe, until 2013. And 2013, they had expanded their board, and one of their board members, Jack Dyke, had agreed to kind of come up with a better system. And so he went out and sort of tried to put some order and structure to that process. And we had an Excel spreadsheet, basically. Hmm. So that's the origin of the organization.
It's just a kind of a wandering operator service to some extent.
Right. It was a virtual office. There was no office. And it was just word of mouth. They went around in the community and talked to people, you know, the Rotary and other organizations, just to let them know that they were out there willing to do this. And I believe Rich said that they, in 2012, maybe, that they had a community meeting where about 100 people showed up. So that sort of gave them the idea that, you know, this was a need in the community. And so they kind of got really excited about the response to that. But so that's kind of when I came into the picture.
Yeah, I first was aware of them when I was active with the North Idaho Crisis Line, setting that up and crisis intervention training. And Rich and Dave came to one of our meetings. And yeah, I'm going, well, how do you do business, you know? And they're saying, well, we have these cards and we have this pad. And
it was all, you know, one of the things that we haven't lost in our evolution is the heart of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud and pleased to be able to say that even though we've got all these fancy ways and methods and technology and training and all this stuff that they didn't have, we have not lost the core of their inspiration, which was to be there for people, to not just maybe be an operator with an answer, but be a heart at the end of the phone line that cares, you know, and will go the extra. So there's some things that happened in between there. What you can ask me what you want to know.
So full disclosure, I am a volunteer with Community Resource Center. I'm what they call a resource specialist. So I'm one of the people that's in the office a day of the week for about 4 hours, taking phone calls or walk-ins. And we're located in the former Panhandle State Bank building at the corner of 3rd and Oak, which is now called the Columbia Bank Community Center.
Community Plaza.
And so anyway, that's my full disclosure.
I was wondering if you were going to tell.
Can we talk about that need that they saw originally? I mean, what caused them to say this, you know, that we need to get this cell phone and this notepad? And pardon my voice, by the way, I'm getting over a cold, but what need did they see, and what have they satisfied? What's changed in the community in the years since then? Well, of course, a lot of things have changed, but can you say this is something that the Community Resource Center has done? This is a problem that we're addressing right now.
Well, I don't have the information about the initial inspiration of trying to help someone find something. But I think one of the things that has happened over time, if you're asking me, have we solved a community problem. I think what we have done is we have provided a tool for people who are in the business of solving problems, because we don't actually provide any services. You know, we're not there giving any answers to, you know, or solving those problems. We're there to direct people to the services that are available. And so the need that we have fulfilled, the space that we have filled there, is that there we have tried to make it easier for people to access the many resources. It's amazing. I came from Atlanta, Georgia, and it's incredible to me the number of resources that we have for a small community. And so it would be criminal if, you know, we have these resources and people aren't finding them and they're struggling unnecessarily. The other thing that we can do is, and this is kind of intuitive, it's not, I don't have any metrics on this, but one of the things I've learned is that people, when they struggle, they're already under stress and they're already having a difficult time managing whatever their situation is. So if you add, when they try and find remedy, and they run into roadblocks and closed doors and rejection, they give up really easily. They're very frustrated. They're easily frustrated. And then they go inward and the problem doesn't go away. It just gets worse. And so one of the things that we know is that if we can be there to help them navigate, to get there quicker without using up their valuable gas or their valuable time, you know, they have a lot going on. And if we can make it easier for them to find that, and if we can do even a little bit of the legwork for them, which is something you're not going to get if you called another resource, is that, you know, we will try and make sure that wherever we're sending them, it's a reliable, reasonable resource for them to explore. No guarantee, of course, but so that's kind of the service. And so I think that's what hasn't been lost. Like I said, I think that one of the things that Rich and Dave did, I mean, their inspiration was to, you know, help people do what they needed to do to fix whatever needed fixing, and not do it for them, but just kind of do some of that hard work.
So the Resource Center concentrates all the available community resources in basically the social service sphere in one location that people can access either on the internet or by walking in or by phoning us. And they can reach us at 208-920-1840.
Mm-hmm. 920-1840.
920-1840.
And we're there from 10 to 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the website is sandpointcommunityresource.com, which is very usable by not just the resource specialist, but by anybody who wants to look up information on a subject. For instance, let's say I'm having a housing problem. I'm got to move from where I am. I need to go to a new place, and I'm low income. I happen to be low income, although our service is not defined by financial status. Let's say I don't know where the apartment complexes are. So I go to that website and I search the word housing, and up comes a listing of all the places that provide but financially supported housing. And then I can contact those places on my own,
right,
and search it out. And how many items are in the database? How many?
There's over 350. And right. What I was going to tell earlier is that we went from that kind of spreadsheet technology to a web-based technology, which that was kind of a surprise to us that we could have all this capability, and that's through what I describe as a gift from heaven, and a web designer who responded to an ad I put in Volunteer Match. She actually lives in Kansas, and she adopted us as a project. And so she has designed for us and built for us this incredible capability online. And what that has allowed us to do is to empower the community with information. Again, our goal is to make it easier for people to access the things that they need. And so we've been able to incorporate in our website this self-help directory. So rather than kind of hoarding the information and requiring that people call us to get the information, we said, why don't we just put it in their hands? And we're there, of course, to help them navigate and add. We can add information. We can do things that they may not want to do themselves. And so we are providing that service, but we're only there from 10 to 2. So they may have a need that they need to take care of outside of those limited hours. And so we want to give them the information. It's limited, but if you go in and query the system, like Carrie said, if you go in and you can search by keyword or you can search by service area, let's say you're a senior, you're a new senior in the community, and you want to know what services are there available to me here in the community. And so you can just kind of up will pop up all the things that are related to seniors in our community. We also have a calendar, which I'm really happy to say is a great resource for people who want to know. We're calendar heavy here in this town. I mean, everywhere you go online, you can find a calendar. And our calendar is specifically designed to provide information for free or low cost activities and programming. So people aren't kind of teased with things that they can't afford. But, you know, you go there and you say, let's say you wanted to know what programming is there available for my kids. And you can go in the calendar and you can search the calendar for children's activities, and they'll all be essentially free or low cost. So that's a way of, again, our community just sharing information and empowering people to find what they need.
And there's two other components to what the organization does. Why don't you talk about
that? Yeah, I like to say that we are taking responsibility for three spaces in the community. We've spent a time talking about the first and initial and core space, which is that trying to connect people to the resources that they need. In doing that for a couple of years, we determined that there was another need that we might play a role in, and that is connecting the service providing community to each other. And the benefit of that is information sharing. We initially started out trying to really establish good relationships with all the service providers, because you can see that that's really vital to what we were doing. We had to know what we needed to know in order to help people find it. But then we discovered that they didn't know a lot about each other, and that seemed like that wasn't right. And so we said, what if we brought all of these people together and shared information, and the potential was there to do more together than any of us could do separately to maybe have impact? This kind of gets to Jack's question about what impact have you had? So bringing all of these people who have the ability to provide services and make a difference in the community, we have identified some of the more critical needs in the community, and we've tried to talk our way through what could we do to make a difference in those areas. And we're taking baby steps. We started a symposium in 2016 where we had over 100, I think there were over 110 or so people in the service providing community attend, when we were like overwhelmed. We were hoping we'd get like 30. And we would have thought that would have been a huge success. And we ended up with this huge crowd of people who, and it just seemed like they were starving for this opportunity to come together and work together and collaborate and see where there could be synergy that, you know, important things could happen. And some good things came out of that. Some commitments were made, and actually things, good things happened. I'll give you an example. Is one of the things that we struggle with at the Resource Center is the challenge of making sure that people who need us know we're there. And so we're a very low budget, all volunteer organization. So marketing, you know, that's an expensive project. And so we do all the free things that we can do. And so there's so much more that we need to be doing to make sure the word gets out. So at this meeting, the symposium, the idea of outreach came up and making sure that the information got in the hands of the people who, and something as simple as we have all of these soup kitchens, these free meals in town. And so we know that the population of people who take advantage of that service in our community are there. And so why aren't we doing something kind of proactively about reaching out to those people? So a small group of people from that meeting got together and they created this little postcard, which had all the free meals on it. And it had information about the Resource Center, the North Idaho Crisis Line, a program for suicide prevention for people who may be struggling with that. And so we put that in the hands of the people who operate the soup kitchens. Now, that seems like a really simple thing. Why weren't we doing that already? But again, it's because everybody who's out there trying to provide a service is overwhelmed with providing that service. And so I found this a challenge in my previous volunteer work in Atlanta, is that that community of people who are so busy helping hardly have time to look up and see what else could we be doing, or is there a better way, or could I be partnering with some, you know, this just doesn't seem to be the energy or the time to do that. So what the SPIN, that's what we call it, the Service Provider Information Network, is what that does is we kind of create a regular opportunity for people to come together and look at possibilities like that. So that's been, we've received a lot of enthusiasm about that.
And the next SPIN meeting is?
Our next meeting, we meet quarterly, and it'll be January 23rd. And we will be meeting at the Assembly of God Church this time. We've been meeting at the Columbia Bank building, but things have changed there. So again, we're low budget. So any expenses that we can avoid, we do. And yeah, so we're going to be meeting there quarterly. And we're looking forward to what comes next with that. We're tracking some activities, that commitments that have been made down the road. We've met, this will be our fifth session since our initial session. So
if there's a provider listening, it's January 23rd, Assembly of God Church from 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do they need to call and pre-register?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
it would be. They should call the office and pre-register.
Right.
920-1840.
Right. Or you can email at scrc@sandpointcommunityresource.com.
Perfect.
If you Google Sandpoint Resource, we'll pop up. And so you don't have to remember anything except that.
Right.
And you can find all the information that you need. And then, so that's the SPIN, and we can talk more about that if you wanted to. But I don't want to overlook the third space, which is new. Starting last year, we developed a volunteer initiative, which is called Volunteer Idaho Panhandle. And this is in response to a need to help people connect with volunteer opportunities. So again, working with this service provider community, we discovered that one of the needs that they have in order to support the community is volunteer folks. And so we said, we're in the business of connecting people. So why don't we see if we can connect people to this resource in the community? I was inspired initially. Some of your listeners may have participated in the Day of Hope. That was in October 2016, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was overwhelmed with the number of people who showed up to help that day. I think it was over 1,000.
And that was the event out at the fairgrounds that...
Mm-hmm. And it was a day of service. Mm-hmm. Basically, mm-hmm. providers came and provided free services to the community of need. They could just show up and get free shoes, free haircut, free dental exam. Right. It was very exciting to see the community respond. But my thought then was, well, I wonder what these people are doing the other 364 days of the year. And I thought, there needs to be a way to harness this service energy. And so I presented it at our symposium, this idea. And I want to give credit to United Way of North Idaho, because in the audience was the director of United Way of North Idaho. And he approached me after the meeting and said that, I think I can help you do that. And I was blown away. And I said, well, how? And he said, I think I can provide you a person. And so he did. Hmm. Through the VISTA AmeriCorps program, we got Elise Boyce, who has spent a year with us developing that program. And we've taken it a long way in that time.
We're in conversation with Becca Orchard, who is a volunteer and board member at the Sandpoint Community Resource Center. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY with Jack and Carrie. And I think we got to take a little musical break at this point, give Becca a rest, and myself a chance to blow my nose and clear my throat. It was on this day 60 years ago, I can even do the math on this one, that Vicki Peterson was born. No relation to myself. Vicki Peterson is the guitarist and vocalist of The Bangles, who had a big year in 1986 with Walk Like an Egyptian. And and this song, which I have queued up, called Manic Monday, a Prince song originally.
Really? Was it a Prince song?
Prince wrote it. That's
I'll
right.
be darned.
What do you know? We could play Walk Like an Egyptian if you prefer, Carrie.
And we can all do that.
That's right. But then there would be people have to keep both hands on the wheel this morning, Carrie. There's hazardous
driving
conditions.
It's not an audience participation song.
And everyone would be doing that funky dance.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to play Manic Monday.
Because that inspires good driving.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, this is The Bangles. Vicki Peterson is 60 years old today. There's Manic Monday. We'll be back with Becca Orchard from the Sandpoint Community Resource Center after this.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That's The Bangles. With Manic Monday, you are listening to The Morning Show on Thursday, January the 11th of 2018. We're Jack and Carrie here in the Tiki Room. Becca Orchard is our guest this morning. She's a volunteer and board member at the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, I think I have one of their mugs. I think I've got one of your mugs, or two of your mugs at this point. I've collected them, possibly. Am I supposed to have two?
Absolutely.
I shouldn't return one of them or something.
And you're such a coffee drinker, you two-fisted. So
I know.
I didn't see you with it on your bike.
No. Well, it's only because of the weather. I didn't want to get any flakes in
it.
You
usually ride one-handed with your mug.
You're right. no, those mugs, you see them all over the place, though.
You do.
Don't
you? Good.
Yeah, they're pretty, I think they're ubiquitous around town.
I hope so, because that's another very economical way of marketing.
Yeah. Where else might people have seen? I mean, I see the mugs and I guess business cards. Is there anywhere else we might have seen?
We have, I don't know if any of you read the Daily Bee, but we were front page on the Daily Bee
on Sunday.
Thank you, Dave Gunter, for your beautiful story. So if anybody wants more scoop, I think he did a fabulous job of telling the story of the Resource Center. So there's that. We've had other articles in the Reader. We have our Souptember event in September in the park, at Farman Park, which has become kind of a big deal at that time of year, where all the local restaurants and caterers compete for the coveted golden ladle. And all the participants who come and taste the soups get to vote.
The golden ladle.
The golden ladle. Yes. So you get bragging rights to the golden ladle. And so that you may have gotten wind of us that way. We try and get our postcards around town, everywhere where we think people in need might be. And we just put a sign out in front of the building. That was
really
huge.
Nice day frame.
So if you're looking for us, there's a sign that one side says Volunteer Idaho Panhandle, because we want people to stop in and talk to us about volunteering. And the other side says the Community Resource Center. And it's amazing to me. I wouldn't have thought that sign would have made much difference. But when people come in, I say, well, how did you find it? I saw your sign. So it's taken us 3 years to get a sign.
So you accept walk-ins.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. We have a little office on the first floor in that building at 231 North 3rd. And we have another office upstairs where we hang out and do all the backroom stuff. But it's a very private office. I think it's important to tell the listeners that this is a confidential service. We take a lot of pride in that. And we don't share any information with anyone without someone's agreement. So I want people to feel comfortable in calling. And even if we don't have the answer, it's a friendly voice. It's a friendly person on the other end of the phone. Like I said, that's something we haven't lost. And that's important to me in training the volunteers, that we get the right person on the phone, because we want people who care and want to be helpful. And one of the challenges that we have is it's really hard for our volunteers, because sometimes there isn't an easy answer, and it's hard not to lose faith that you're really helping. So I spend a lot of time trying to puff them up and let them know that just by being there, you're helping. I learned that through the work I did before I came to Sandpoint. For 10 years, I worked with homeless and street youth, and I trained volunteers there. And one of the things they would worry about is messing it up. And what if I say the wrong thing? What if I do the wrong thing? Whatever. And I'd say, you know what? You can't mess this up. They got nothing. They got nobody. So just being there is the most important thing you can do. And you can ask any of those kids, and that's what they would tell you. So I feel the same way about the work we're doing here. Is anybody who's calling us, just be present, just be there for them. And even if you don't have a ready answer. And the other cool thing that we do, which I want to mention, is that we try and follow up with every one of our people who call us. That is practically unheard of. And one of the cool things about that, and in fact, we were meeting with our volunteers just this week, and they reported back that that's a cool thing for them too, is that they get to closure, you know, they get to circle back. You know, if you call me and I send you somewhere, and I'm just hoping that that's going to help, and I never know unless I call back and I ask you, how'd that work out? And you can tell me, oh, it worked out beautifully. I got what I needed. Thank you so much. Or it didn't help me. And here's why. We learn that maybe we need to know more about that referral. And almost always, they're appreciative, regardless of whether it helped or it didn't help. They're so amazed that we even call back. So that's, again, speaks to the heart of the matter.
Yeah. Do you guys, you guys are both volunteers. Is there like a volunteer training or something? I imagine if somebody came in. Yeah, when someone comes in off the street, you want to be knowledgeable and be able to help them.
Yeah, the way it works is we have about 8 hours of kind of classroom training, and half of that is spent just figuring out how to work the technology, you know, the database and all of that. And then the other half is spent talking about how do we what our approach is with the people who are calling, and making sure that they understand our values and kind of how it needs to roll. And then there's a lot of OJT, as much as is needed. Volunteers who take on that role can, they can shadow somebody as long as they need to feel comfortable. And there's always, you know, it's like anything when you learn to fly, it's a little nerve wracking. As one of our volunteers said at our meeting this week, she said, you know, because I was asking what's changed since when you started and now, a year later. And she said, well, when I first started, I was hoping the phone wouldn't ring. Because you're, you know, you want to be helpful and you don't think, you're not sure you know enough to be helpful. And it doesn't take very long. It's a small community and there's, you know, there's a little bit to know. And once you know it, then you feel really confident. And then you can focus on the person because you're not anxious about what you know.
Right.
So the training, you know, is really good for that. And then it's ongoing, you know, it's we learn as we go.
Yeah.
And we are looking for additional resource specialists. The people mm-hmm. that sit in the office, 4-hour shifts. And I started in October, mm-hmm. September, October, and, had the 8 hours of training, and Becca does the training. She does a great job training. And then I shadowed, in other words, I sat in with one of the resource specialists for 4-hour blocks. I did that 2 or 3 times and then flew on my own. And then we have monthly meetings where we can come together and use that for additional training and idea sharing and that kind of thing. So
yes, we are looking because it's in this community, you know, people come and go, you know, their lives are very fluid. And so sometimes we have a lot of people and sometimes we don't have a lot of people. And so it's good to have some backup and people who, and it's really a wonderful, one of the things volunteers tell us about the role is that it's nice to have a place that you know you're expected from for a short period of time on a given day, you know, for people who like that kind of structure in their volunteering. And you start, the longer you do it, the more you feel like you're adding value to the community. And so, yes, training is coming up. So we're anxious to get a few more people on board. Did you want to ask me about volunteering?
Well, yeah. And if somebody is interested in volunteering, call that same number.
Yeah.
Which is?
208-920-1840. Or again, just go to the website and click on volunteer and you can find everything you need to know there.
Mm-hmm. If somebody comes in, you know, I mean, a hypothetical situation without getting into specifics, but what's the experience of somebody who walks in off the street needing help with, I can't make rent this week or this month mm-hmm. or something like that?
Well, one of the things that we're able to do, which is a service to the community, is we're able to track and monitor and measure, you know, that kind of activity. And I can tell you without a doubt, the number one thing that people are calling about is housing.
Sure. I'm not surprised at all.
Right. And then if you add financial help with housing, then double that number. So there's just access to housing, you know, low income housing primarily, but not necessarily. And then people need help with getting into an apartment. They might need the deposit or the first month's rent or whatever. And so they're looking for resources to help them do that. They've gotten a job, they can pay the rent, but they don't have the money to get into the place. And so there are some, especially for families, there are more resources in the community to help people with children. But it's more difficult for single women and single men to access financial resources.
Sure.
Less worry about employment these days.
That's true. Yeah.
We used to have many more people calling about employment. Utilities this time of year mm-hmm. is big. And luckily we have a resource in the community through Community Action Partnership to help with utility assistance one time. So that for this period of time in the height of winter, you know, but then there's year-long kinds of challenges for people.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, is it a seasonal kind of, it's not a business, but is it a seasonal kind of
service
organization. Yeah, service.
Well, maybe we see some patterns. You know, I could show you our little graph of year to year data.
Oh, hold it close to the microphone.
There you go. Yeah. See the dotted line. So you can see a lot goes up in the winter. You know, because people in the summer here, people are fat and happy. You know, they can camp and they can sort of find their way, and so less housing need, especially.
Sure.
Less utility need. So yeah, it does have kind of its predictable patterns, but there's a kind of a constant need of about, I would say, from 20 to 25 people calling a month. We've served over 1,000 families.
Wow.
And those are unique.
Those are unique. Those aren't repeat. Those are, so if you think about the number of people in the county, and we're, that's a significant number of families.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the town of San, city of Sandpoint is only in the 8,000 neighborhood.
77, 78.
Yeah.
And we do serve Bonner and Boundary.
Sure.
County.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you are drawing from a larger pool than that, but
I want to make sure people understand there's no charge for this service also. This is a free service.
So some going back to it, I mean, somebody kind of walks in off the street in need of something. I don't know. What's their experience?
Well, let's say that somebody came in, just walked in, and we would sit down and we would basically have a conversation with them and just explore what their situation was. And as you can imagine, they might come in for one thing. They might come in with, you know, I need to find an apartment. And then as you talk with them, you discover, well, I'm actually not able to feed my children because we've run out of money, and I can't, my bills are late. And so you sort of understand that it's bigger than whatever they presented initially. And so then you go about just trying to, and sometimes in those cases where it's overwhelming, you just start to prioritize, you know, let's take of the most urgent thing and we'll work through that. And so we would go through and explore what the opportunities were to help direct them. And so we would do our research. A lot of times we ask for time to do the research, again, because we want to make sure that it's a good referral. And we might make a heads up call to the provider and say, I have this person with this need. Would this be a good place to send them, and kind of pave the way for them a little bit that way? So that would be their experience. Mm-hmm. And then we would send them off with things to do. We're all about empowering people too. We don't want to take too much of the responsibility on for doing for them. We think it's in their best interest to give them the resources and the capabilities of helping themselves. And then let them do that, and then follow up with them and then say, tell me how that went.
Yeah.
Tell me if I can help you further.
And then later on, they might get a phone call from you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. To say, how'd that go? And so we can continue if it didn't work, and we'll work till we exhaust it.
Yeah.
But let me say too, that one of the things that I learned was sometimes what you have to do for people is you have to close all the doors on what they think is out there in order for them to take the steps they need to take it within their own circle. It's interesting. I have found that people will ask a stranger. It's safer to ask a stranger for help. And sometimes when we call back and say, how's it going? Were you able to take care of that? And they say, well, actually, there was a family member who bailed me out or helped me out or whatever. And those resources were there all along for them, but they did not want to ask. So that's kind of an interesting thing, you know. So sometimes even if we don't have the answer, we're closing the doors to that phantom solution out there. And so it forces them to look inward and within their own little circle for the help.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to ask for help.
No, it is.
Yeah. And I mean, and I can fully understand why it might be easier to approach a stranger than to take somebody who you know, whose respect you value and who you respect, and you don't want to. It can be embarrassing, you know.
Totally. Yeah. And we're totally empathetic with that. But it's helpful to know that sometimes, even if you don't have the answer, you're doing something good for them, which will enable them to do what they need to do.
Right. And yeah, and then you might not even think of it either, I suppose. I mean, mm-hmm. you might, you know, until somebody points it out to you, you might not say, you know, is there anyone already in your life who can help you with this?
Right. But yeah. That's where we end up when we say, I've tried everything. I have nothing. Let's brainstorm what else there might be.
Yeah. You are Becca Orchard, volunteer and board member of the Sandpoint Community Resource Center. I'm Jack. That's Carrie. And you're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show. The hour flies by. I was going to say we can take a little musical break and continue, but I don't think we've got time for that. We should probably start wrapping this thing up here, Becca. In summation, is there anything that we haven't mentioned, haven't asked you about that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I just want to kind of underscore one of the things that we're really aggressively looking at right now is our volunteer initiative, because we think that that's going to have a dramatic impact on the community in terms of providing needed resources to our service providers, our nonprofits who are out there serving the community. They need help. And I really believe that there's a whole community of people wanting to help. They just don't know how and how to get connected and who to call. And I hear this all the time about this is fulfilling a need in the community. So I really want to encourage anybody who's out there been thinking about volunteering and didn't know what first steps to take is to contact the Resource Center. Come on January 30th, which is our monthly Find Your Perfect Match session. It's 1 hour at noontime on the last Tuesday of the month. And what we do is we bring in the community organizations that are specifically looking for volunteers and have them have a face-to-face with the people who are looking to volunteer. We also have an electronic web-based tool that we can connect people with so that they can learn about ongoing volunteer opportunities and stay connected with volunteering. And that's how I got started volunteering myself in Atlanta. And when I came here, in Atlanta, we had Volunteer Match, which is a national matching tool. And that's how I found the program that I worked for in Atlanta. And when I came here, there wasn't anything. So I'm like you all out there. I struggled with where's my place. I know I want and need to volunteer. And I just kind of had to do a lot of looking around and trying things out and talking to people. And it wasn't that easy. So I'm trying to make it easier for people to, you know, come and see what's out there. And it gives you a lot of control too. You can control how much or how little. A lot of our community is seasonal, so they come in and out. So you can find something that fits that part of your lifestyle. And it's a beautiful thing. And I'm really happy that we're doing it. And I'm happy to share it with the community. And I hope that people will come and see what it's all about.
That's January 30th.
That's a Tuesday.
Last Tuesday of the month.
And if you don't make February... I mean, January 30th, there's one February 27th, there's one the last two.
That means it's 9 o'clock. Go on. Continue. Oh. That means it means we're almost out of time. But.
I think that was the hook. I just got the hook.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. So that's my parting shot. I really hope to see lots of people come and can see us about volunteering.
Yeah. So January 30th, come see you guys about volunteering.
And that's in the office at the corner of 3rd and Oak.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And a week before that, on the 23rd at the Assembly of God Church, there's a meeting.
That's for the service providers.
For mm-hmm. the providers, not mm-hmm. for the volunteers. Mm-hmm. And that number again?
208-920-1840.
That's who you call. Becca, thanks so much for coming in. And we don't have time for a community calendar or anything.
There's a lot going on. Look at Sandpoint Online or the Reader.
or the community Sandpoint Community Resource Center has a calendar as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that. And you are listening to 88.5 KRFY Pondere, as you may have just heard. Here's The Early Bird, a new segment from Bird Note.